This morning we are we're continuing a series that we've been going through this month called The Story of Christmas. And before we get into the message, just one quick note. Next Sunday is going to be an exciting Sunday here at Calvary. It's our kids' Christmas program. They're going to be doing a program they've been working on for months now called Dude, You Hear What I Hear. It's going to be a fun time. Invite your friends and family. It's always a good time to bring a camera as well. Get pictures of all the little kids and their cute songs. So that's going to be a fun time. This morning, though, we're going to be continuing this series called The Story of Christmas. And how many of you have a favorite Christmas movie? This is the best time of the year for this. TBS runs these suckers on, like, all day. How many of you, your favorite Christmas movie is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Are there any fans out there? A few, all right. How about the classic, The Christmas Story? You'll shoot your eye out. I'm sure a few of you have tried to stick the tongue on the metal pool before. It doesn't work out real well. What about A Wonderful Life? It's a Wonderful Life. A lot of hands there. That's always a classic. One of my wife's favorite movies, Christmas movies, is Elf. Does anyone like Elf? Elf is such a fun movie, and in fact, every time it's on television, I have to like skip over it real quick so she can't see it, because we end up watching it over and over and over again. Somehow, she just loves it every time, and it is funny. And if you haven't seen the movie, the pivotal moment, one of the pivotal moments in the movie, is when Buddy the Elf, played by Will Ferrell, comes up to the Empire State Building and goes up to the office of a children's book publisher named Walter Hobbs and shares some surprising news with him. And we're going to show you that real quick. So if you turn your attention to the screens, we have a short clip you can watch here on the screen right now.
Yeah.
Mr. Hobbs, it's me on the intercom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad! All right, let's get it over with.
I walked all day and night to find you.
You look like you came from the North Pole.
That's exactly where I came from. Santa must have called you.
Oh, yeah, sure. He just got off the cell phone with me.
He did?
So, go on.
Go on with what?
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to work?
A song? Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song. And I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now. I found you, Daddy. And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Wow. That was weird. Now, usually you guys just, put my name in the jingle bells or something.
It's me, your son. Susan Wells had me, and she didn't tell you, and but now I'm here. It's me, Buddy.
Susan Wells. You said Susan Wells?
Yes.
Who sent this Christmas gram?
What's a Christmas gram? I want one.
I think we should call security.
Good idea.
I like to whisper, too.
When we're given surprising news, we all react differently. This movie's funny because Walter Hobbs doesn't know he had another son, and Buddy the Elf is that other son. And if you've ever seen the movie, it's hilarious as Buddy kind of reacclimates himself to the real world outside of the North Pole. But we all have those moments. There are moments in our lives sometimes when news is shared with us, whether it's good or bad, that is surprising. It's unexpected. And how we react in those moments can oftentimes define us. And oftentimes we don't react real well in those moments. Because whether it's good or bad, unexpected news can oftentimes bring about a huge dose of stress. The stress can sometimes be the result of fear or excitement or even dread. And the emotions of those unexpected moments are very real. 5 years ago, this year, I remember sitting in the hospital waiting room as the doctor came out and shared news with my family that we had all dreaded, which was that my mother had breast cancer. And it was a difficult moment as that diagnosis was shared with us, because you never expect to hear those two words in the same sentence, cancer and mother. And I remember the emotion, just the stress and just the whirlwind that sent me through personally. There were a lot of questions, and as soon as the emotion or the words reached my ears, the questions started to fly. How could this happen? What was going to happen to my mother? What am I going to do? Where do I turn? It was a difficult time. And you may have been there before. You've told someone, or you've been told something that pushes you over that emotional ledge. It might be a diagnosis of a loved one, like I experienced. It may be job related, because you lose your job, or the end of a relationship, or losing someone that's close to you far too soon. Or it could be good news that can be shocking. Maybe you're given greater responsibility at work. You're told of a new pregnancy. You're told that they accepted your offer on your house. And while the results of good and bad news can be drastically different, oftentimes the emotion is the same. It paralyzes us. It overwhelms us. We don't know how to react. We don't know what to do. And it can become draining spiritually and emotionally, physically. And during different seasons of the year, those emotions that we have can oftentimes become more magnified. Moments like Christmas, Thanksgiving, the emotions that we're feeling, the overwhelming experience only becomes magnified. And we wonder, where do I turn? What do I do? Well, this morning, if that's where you're at today, if you've been walking through that and you've been asking those questions, where do I turn? What do I do? Is there any hope? I want you to know today that you're in the right place. You're in a place where we've been there before. We may have never been in your shoes specifically, but we've been there. Not only have we been there, but this morning I want to share with you a story of two individuals that were given some shocking news that rocked their world. This news overwhelmed them. And they navigated through that season. Their names were Joseph and Mary. Some of you probably are familiar with their names, but this young couple found themselves on the front row of one of the more beautiful and important stories in Scripture, the birth of a Savior. And Joseph and Mary, if you don't know kind of the story, they were pledged to be married. And when they're pledged to be married in their culture, it was very different from our culture. In America in 2012, if you're engaged, it's not a real formal process. But marriage is that process. Once you become married, to separate, you would have to become divorced. Well, in their culture, once you were pledged to be married, you would actually have to divorce the person to separate. And this was a very serious thing. And Joseph and Mary were given some very, very shocking news early on in their engagement. News that would transform any relationship. News that would rock any relationship. The news that Mary was pregnant. Mary was pregnant. And you could imagine how that would impact their relationship. Just listen real quick here as we read from Luke chapter 1 to the encounter that Mary has with an angel as this news that she's pregnant is shared with her for the first time. We get this little glimpse to kind of see what takes place. So Luke chapter 1, verse 28, here's what it says. The angel went to her, speaking of Mary, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And I want to pause there for a second. The angel says to Mary, you are highly favored and the Lord is with you. And that statement, "the Lord is with you," is actually used a number of times or a rendition of that phrase throughout Scripture. Some of the more notable times is in the book of Joshua, early on in the Old Testament, which is the first half of the Bible. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, God says to Joshua, who was leading the nation of Israel at that time, he said, "I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." A similar phrase. And if you follow that story, what Joshua was about to do was incredibly difficult. He led a nation into battle against fortified nations and cities. But God said, "But I'm with you." If you go forward a little bit further, you see an angel say this phrase to a man by the name of Gideon. The angel says to Gideon, be without fear, mighty warrior, for I am with you. I am with you. Gideon was about to take a few hundred men and go up against thousands of Midianites in battle. Impossible. But God said, "I am with you." And now God says this to Mary through this angel. "I am with you." What Mary's about to embark upon was incredibly difficult, emotional, stressful, overwhelming. But God said, "I am with you." Before we move on, I just want you to know, regardless of what you've come from or what storm you're walking through today, God says, I am with you. He is a God of the impossible. He is the one that when he is by your side, no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, you will make it through because he is with you. God said this to Mary, but he also says it to us today. You may be walking through a lot of questions, maybe similar to Mary and Joseph or to someone else that maybe has given a news that they're not expecting. You're walking through a difficult storm, a difficult season of your life. And God wants you to know, I'm with you. I'm with you. But the angel goes on with Mary here in verse 29. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. In verse 30 goes on, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. Wow. Could you imagine being Mary? Mary, history teaches us, was somewhere in the range of 14 to 16 years old. This young girl that's pledged to be married, something that she's looked forward to all of her life. And now all of a sudden she finds she's going to be having a child. She didn't plan for this. Some of you, if you have children, you thought it out and you planned for it and you maybe saved up or whatever. She didn't plan for this. Now all of a sudden she's given this news that she's going to have a child. And not only any child, the very Son of God. Wow. A few verses later, she responds as in the same way that many of us respond, with a question. We question these things. Here's what she says in verse 34. How will this be since I am a virgin? When we're given unexpected news, it's only natural to ask questions because we want to understand it. Why has this happened? How has this happened? What's going to happen now? How's my life going to be different? Mary, this young girl, was asking these questions. She was overwhelmed. It was a difficult time. That's where Mary's at. I remember asking those questions with my mother's diagnosis. Asking, what will happen now? What am I going to do? Where do I turn? Mary must have been so frightened in this moment. Yes, she was a young girl, but she was pledged to be married. And the fact that she was pledged to be married means, and she's not married yet, she could be labeled an adulterer by her community. Having a child in that culture outside of marriage could result in her banishment from the community. If the man she's pledged to marry, Joseph, chooses to divorce her, she could never marry again. And in that culture, the job opportunities for women were nearly non-existent. And if Mary wasn't able to marry, where would she find her income? Or how would she survive? We see this same struggle in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth, as Ruth and Naomi battle with making ends meet financially without their husbands. It wasn't a culture set up for women. Now Mary is given news that could completely change her world. She could be labeled an adulterer and kicked out of her community. She could be divorced by this man that she's pledged to marry, possibly never to marry again. And even worse than that, to never marry again with a bad reputation. This was devastating. It had to have been difficult for Mary. It's good news. It's very good news. We sing about the good news, but it was difficult news for her. In fact, after she's given this news, Scripture teaches us that she goes to one of her relatives' houses, homes, Elizabeth, for 3 months to process what's taking place. It was overwhelming for Mary. But Mary wasn't the only one involved in this story. There's another side of this story. That's Joseph. Remember Joseph? This is the man that she was pledged to be married to. Think about it from his perspective. The woman he's supposed to marry, he's about to marry, tells him she's pregnant. And Joseph knows for a fact that he's had nothing to do with this pregnancy. Think about that for a second. Joseph must have been going crazy. What would he do? See, Joseph was a godly, respectable man. But he was a godly, respectable man. How could the woman he's pledged to be married now be pregnant? Joseph must have had a lot of questions. Could you imagine being in his shoes? If your fiance came to you and said, "I'm pregnant." Guys, you'd be frustrated, confused. You'd have a lot of questions. And surely Joseph must have been there. And for Joseph, he had all of these questions that he's battling through. Joseph was there. The woman he's pledged to marry is already pregnant. And we see in Matthew chapter 1 that he had in mind to separate from her. This was too much. He couldn't marry a woman that was already pregnant. In his culture, that was adultery. He couldn't have done that. It's adultery in any form. And listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, what Joseph had decided to do. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." To put her away secretly. See, the customs of that day, to break off an engagement, there were two options Joseph would have had. He could have gone before a magistrate publicly and divorced from Mary. They're pledged to be married, and he would go before this magistrate publicly for all to see and hear and announce his divorce of Mary. And for him, that would be the best option. Because for him, it would show others that I'm separating myself from this and show it to the community. But for Mary, it would be devastating. The other option would be joining in the company of two or three witnesses privately and making them aware of this divorce, which is what Joseph did. Joseph was an upstanding man, and that's what he decided to do. And different a lot of ways from our culture, divorce wasn't common. It wasn't something you just rushed out and filled out paperwork and went forward with it. This had to have taken a lot for Joseph to get to this point, to say, I'm going to divorce Mary. I'm going to separate from her. He surely must have been processing a lot of questions. Who do I believe? Could this have actually happened? Could Mary actually become pregnant with the Son of God? Or was this just a really good and twisted excuse? We'd all ask those questions. Joseph had a lot of questions. Mary had a lot of questions. A lot of emotions that were swirling around. But through it all, this is what's remarkable about these two people, Joseph and Mary. All the questions, all of the information that was shared with them, through it all, Joseph and Mary still somehow found peace. Isn't that crazy? Peace. They found this peace. And it wasn't a peace that came with ignorance. I'm sure you've heard the saying, ignorance is bliss. You've all heard that. Ignorance is bliss. And the idea of that statement, that phrase that we say to each other is that the less information I know, the more at peace I'll be. Don't tell me what you're doing. Don't tell me what's happening, because ignorance is bliss. I won't worry about it. I won't stress about it. Joseph and Mary weren't ignorant. They were fully aware of their situation. Their peace was not the result of ignorance. It wasn't that God didn't tell them certain things. They knew what was taking place. They knew what that meant. And yet they were at peace. They weren't ignorant, but yet they were at peace. They somehow found peace. And isn't peace one of the staples of the Christmas story? Isn't that what we sing about, what we talk about? We can have peace on earth. Listen to this popular Christmas carol. It says, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Isn't that our object, our goal? At Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill to men, peace on Christmas. Well, that's our goal. Is it ever truly a reality? Do we actually experience peace through Christmas? Christmas can be such a chaotic time. Schedules, emotions, a lot of things happening. But do we actually experience peace? Is it actually a reality in our lives? Joseph and Mary experienced chaos at its finest. They experienced some overwhelming circumstances. And yet, they found peace. Throughout this month, this series that we're going through, the story of Christmas, we're looking at this idea that throughout the Christmas story is woven the thread of your story. Throughout the Christmas story is woven the thread of your story. And that couldn't be more true than this story of Mary and Joseph. The stress, the emotion, the questions that they were battling with are so often the place that we find ourselves in, especially during Christmas. Whether it be reflecting on past Christmas that haven't gone so well, or whether it be dealing with family issues that we're battling through, relational issues, maybe physical issues with a diagnosis. Christmas can be such a stressful time. But Joseph and Mary, through this all, somehow found peace. And if Joseph and Mary managed to find peace with such incredible circumstances 2,000 years ago, I have to believe that peace is possible for us in 2012. I have to believe it wasn't just isolated to their situation, but we could be at peace. We could experience peace as well. So what was it that brought about peace for Joseph and Mary? That's the question. How did they find the peace? Was it just incredible willpower on their part? Was it counseling? Was it medication? What was it that brought about the peace that they experienced? It wasn't really any of those things. The truth is, this simple carpenter and his bride were able to find peace through their uncertainty, not because of any information that was shared with them, but rather because of their decisions. It wasn't because of any information. And what I want to share with you this morning is peace isn't a matter of information, but of decision. It's not a matter of information. You know, we can be given all the information in the world about your situation, about your life, or about your future. That information isn't going to give you peace. It's actually probably going to cause you more stress. Peace isn't a matter of information. If you had an answer to all the questions that you have, you're not going to be at peace. I know the questions that I had when my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. If God had written on a piece of paper and slipped it under my door answers to all of those questions, I still wouldn't have been at peace. And the questions that you ask, if God had answered all those questions, would you actually be at peace? Probably not. Because peace isn't a matter of information. It's a matter of decision. It's a decision that you make. Mary and Joseph had information. They still experienced real emotion. They were real people. But it was the decision that they had made to experience peace. Listen to how Mary eventually responded to the angel's news of her supernatural pregnancy in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Wow. That's just a simple statement of obedience. Mary is given this incredible news. News that's going to change her life forever. No longer is she just simply Mary. Forever she will be known as Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's no longer just a young girl. She now becomes this woman that will be remembered forever throughout the history of the world. And here's all she says. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." She makes that decision in her heart to be at peace. What about Joseph? Look at how he responds to this shocking news. In Matthew chapter 1, an angel appears to him at night and shares with him through all of his questions, this child that is going to be born is from God. This is the Son of God. You're going to name him Jesus. And here's how Joseph responds in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. It says, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him." He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Notice that both Joseph and Mary responded to the shocking news, not by ignoring it or suppressing it, or suppressing the information shared to them. No, they made the conscious decision to release control of the outcomes to God. They released control of the outcomes to God. Their response was one of obedience and not obstinance. While they didn't really understand what was happening or completely know why it was happening, they'd put their faith in something bigger than the news that was shared with them. You might say, "Yeah, but Nick, these were two spiritual giants. Joseph and Mary are icons in the Christian faith. In the Bible, they are huge people, huge personalities. That's not practical for me. How could I respond that way? I'm not the spiritual giant that Joseph and Mary were. Remember, this was a simple carpenter and his bride. Joseph and Mary were nothing different than you and I. The only difference was God had chosen them at that moment for his incredible purpose to bring something remarkable into the world. Joseph and Mary were just simple people. Joseph was a hardworking blue-collar guy. He's a guy that would have fit right in with Pittsburgh. He knew how to get his hands dirty and make things and fix things that are broken. Mary was just a simple girl who was pledged to be married. Like many of you, she was surely looking forward to that day when she'd be married. Someday when she'd have a family a few years down the road. But now all of a sudden these two simple people are given shocking news. And they do something remarkable, but very simple. They respond with peace. They choose peace. They choose to respond with peace. And the peace that it says that they responded to is a peace that comes from God. It's not a peace that you experience because of ignorance. It's not a peace that you experience because of something that someone shares with you or something you do or counseling you find. Those are all good things. But the peace that comes from God that Mary and Joseph experienced is a different type of peace. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes about this peace. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Can you say that with me? All understanding. One more time. All understanding. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It transcends all understanding. It's beyond our understanding. It's a peace that shines through every storm, every question, every ounce of shocking news. And that's the peace that Mary and Joseph had experienced. That's the peace that God wants you to experience. A peace that passes all understanding. The peace of Christmas. The peace of Christmas is not ignorance. The peace of Christmas is not absence. Just separating yourself from the chaos and the difficulty and the struggles. It's not ignoring what's taking place around you. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace of God. That is the peace of Christmas. It's not a peace that comes from information, but from a decision. Joseph and Mary made the decision to choose peace. That peace rested in their hearts through difficulties, through uncertainties. They found peace. And the peace that Joseph and Mary both experienced was that result of their decision to trust. To trust. And the truth is, we all put our trust in something. No matter what it is, we put our trust in something. Sometimes we put our trust in luck or chance. Some of you may put your trust in luck or chance last week when you bought the Powerball, and man, I wish someone in this church would have won it. We put our trust sometimes in luck or chance. Sometimes we put our trust in our ever-changing circumstances. We figure, hey, I'll just ride this out. It's just going to happen. I can't control it. I'm just going to ride this out. We put our trust in our circumstances. But we have this choice. We can put our trust in God. In God, the one that never changes. The one that is consistent. What that literally means is trusting God with the outcomes. Believing God to bring about not what we want, but what He knows to be best. See, stress and anxiety are often the result of uncertain outcomes. We get stressed because we don't know how it's going to work out. Guys, we're going to be watching the Steelers game this afternoon. Guaranteed it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. Big Ben, with all of his injuries, is going to go down and try to march the Steelers down the field to win the game at the end. It happens every week. He loves it. We hate it. But we love it at the end. And we'll be stressed because we don't know the outcome. We're wondering, what is going to happen? Is he going to hit the guy? Is Mike Wallace going to catch the ball going across the middle and, you know, running for the touchdown? What's going to happen? Stress is oftentimes the result of uncertain outcomes. We don't know. And the questions that we face, the anxiety that we face during this season happens because we don't know the outcomes. And that bothers us. Those of you that are control freaks, you know what I'm talking about. It bothers you. It's bothering. It makes you anxious. You lose sleep at night. Constantly asking questions. But what if you put your trust in God? Because the peace of God, the peace that comes from God, is the result of a certainty in the one who holds the outcomes. Stress and anxiety, they're the result of not knowing the outcomes, uncertain outcomes. But peace from God comes from a certainty in the one who holds the outcomes, the one who knows the outcomes. God knows the outcome. Trust and peace comes. Peace comes from when we put our trust in God and saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what's going to happen to my mother. I don't know. But God, I have to trust you because I know that you know the outcomes. I'm going to put my trust in you. God, I don't know what's going to happen with my job. I don't know if there's another job out there for me. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. But I have to trust you with the outcomes. Trusting God with the outcomes is not pushing off responsibility. It's not saying, you know what, I don't have a job, so you know what, God will send the person to my front door and knock on my door, and at that moment I'll say yes. Or, you know, the doctor has given me this diagnosis, and I know I need to eat better. I need to eat right. I need to change my eating habits or my workout habits. But you know what, bless God, God will bless me. He'll provide for me. I don't need to do that. No, it's not releasing responsibility. It's releasing the outcomes. A good friend of mine, pastor for many years in the Northeast, his name's Otto Wegener, always says this: work like it depends on you. Pray like it depends on God. Work like it depends on you. Pray like it depends on God. It's not releasing responsibility. It's releasing the outcomes. Saying, God, I trust you with the results. I trust you with the outcomes. And while that's very easy to say, it's incredibly difficult to practice because of the scope of possibilities. Look at the story of Mary and Joseph. Sure, Mary and Joseph bring the Son of God into the world. Incredible. They bring Jesus into the world. This simple couple who never, ever could have ever dreamed of sitting there around this manger as this little child. For those of you that had children, do you remember that moment, that sacred spiritual moment, as you see your child for the very first time? Now imagine seeing your child for the very first time and knowing that child is the very Son of God. That only moments before you locked eyes with this child, that child came from heaven, literally. Imagine what an incredible moment for Mary and Joseph. And that was a great moment. But think about the realm, the scope of possibilities that could have happened that we talked about earlier. Mary and Joseph could be labeled adulterers. They could be kicked out of their community. They could be separated. Horrible, horrible outcomes possibly. And while those outcomes were possible, they chose peace. That's what makes trust so difficult sometimes. Because of the realm of possibilities. Yes, we know there is a good possible outcome, but there are also negative possible outcomes. And trusting God is releasing control of those outcomes. Because the reality is, we really don't control the outcomes anyway, do we? But trusting God, taking responsibility, but trusting God with the outcomes. Trust is difficult, but could you imagine what would happen if you were able to be at peace with your situation, whatever it might be? Could you imagine what would happen? How would that affect your navigation through this new reality in your life? See, whether it's a job promotion or a medical diagnosis, wouldn't you navigate this season more effectively with the peace of God? With the peace of God in your heart. See, anxiety and stress oftentimes have a way of clouding our view. We get so stressed, we get anxious, and we don't see things clearly. But the peace of God has a way of clearing our view. Wouldn't you walk through this season so much better if you had clarity in your vision because you had the peace of God in your heart. You'd make better decisions. You'd be able to navigate safely through that season, whatever it might be. It's the peace of God brings clarity in your vision. Trust in God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we're told to cast all our cares on Him because He cares for you. See, God cares for you. Every pain, every worry, every sorrow, God cares for you. We have this opportunity to cast our cares upon Him. And what that means is that we can cast our anxiety to Him and He can grant us peace. That doesn't mean we ignore our circumstances, but rather we release control of the outcomes to Him, casting our anxiety, our stress to Him. We cast our cares to Him. As Anthony comes to play this morning, we prepare to close. I want to give you just a practical way to do this. To say, you know what, God, I want to release the outcomes of my life. The outcomes of these things that stress me and make me anxious and bring anxiety into this season of the year. I don't want this season to be one of stress, but rather I want to experience the peace of God. The peace that passes all understanding. God wants that for you today. As Anthony plays this morning, in your bulletin today, there's a little insert, slip of paper. It says, I am trusting God with the outcomes. I'm trusting God with the outcomes. It looks like that, what's on the screen there. Trusting God with the outcomes. I want you to take a few moments as Anthony plays. And if there are things in your life, issues that they're just weighing on you, issues that have been tearing you down, questions that you've had, uncertainties that you've battled through, I want you to write those down on that piece of paper. Right there, underneath where it says, I'm trusting God with the outcomes. I want you to write down that piece of paper. What are those things? Anthony's going to play for a few moments. We're going to take a few moments just to pause and to write those down. So take the moments right now and write down what is it that's weighing on your heart? What are you needing to give up to God this morning? Casting our cares to God, releasing the outcomes to God, is not forgetting. It's not avoiding the responsibility, but rather it's entrusting the outcomes to someone that is able to control, to hold those outcomes. We sing the song oftentimes as children, He has the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got your world in His hands. This story of Christmas has woven throughout it the thread of your story. Joseph and Mary, so often we're in their shoes. Stress and anxiety rule the day. But God wants you to have peace. A peace that passes all understanding. That comes from trusting Him. Releasing control of those outcomes to God. Can you stand with me this morning? Anthony is going to sing one last song this morning. As he sings, I want to encourage you to put action to your words. See, Joseph and Mary, they didn't just say, okay, let it be as you've said. They put action to their words. Joseph physically did not separate from Mary. Mary was obedient to follow what the angel of the Lord had told her. Putting action to our words. Because it's more than just empty words. We don't need a lot of hot air. God is a God of action. And we want to put action to our words. To literally cast our cares upon God. Not responsibility, but casting, trusting Him with the outcomes. So as Anthony plays, I want to encourage you to come down to this altar. Lay down those things on the altar this morning. Say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you. God, I'm trusting you with the outcomes. I know I can't control the outcomes, but I know you can. Give me the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. As Anthony plays, I would encourage you to come, to cast those cares, those concerns to him this morning.